Good morning. Welcome to another worship experience. I am Associate Pastor Patricia Williams. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Spirit of the living God, Father, we thank you for just waking us up this morning, oh God, allowing us to see another day, keeping us enclosed in our right mind. Father God, for we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Anything that we need, God, you is there to give to us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, for we call you Jehovah Shalom. Father God, you are our peace in the midst of every tribulation that is going on in this world on today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are decreasing even the more so you can increase within us. Lord, let it be all of you and none of us. Father God, even during this worship experience, God, allow our spirits to worship you with true holiness, God. Let it be pleasing in your sight. Father God, let it be all of you, God. Father God, take complete control, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, do not let anybody come in here the same way they came out, God. Father God, right now I'm praying for a move of God in this place. Let the Shekinah glory fall off in this place, God. Heal, deliver, and set the captive free. God, somebody is coming in here, God, looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, God. Lord, we need you on this morning. God, we can't do without you, God. Lord, we trusting in your word, because in your word there is fullness of joy. In your word there is life, God. In your word there is healing, God. But most of all, in your word there is answers. And God, we thank you for your word. But God, most of all, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that resides in us and among us. God, we can't go wrong. And we thank you, God. Lord, we just want to give you the praise, God. And even as we offer up a sacrifice of praise unto you, God, let it be sweet. Ooh, let it be sweet unto your ear, God. God, we thank you. Continue to bless us, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we just give you the praise and we give you the glory. But most of all, we will be careful how we move and think in this place, because we are standing on holy ground. And we realize that your angels are ministering all around us. And we just give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And let the church say amen.
Come on, continue to lift that praise up and shout hallelujah unto the Lord this morning. If you're excited and glad to be here, I need you to stand on your feet and give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Come on, sing.
I came in this place so burdened down, tried to lift my hands, but I was bound. But the Lord our God said, so I lift my hands and open my mouth, and immediately God worked it out. So I lift my hands and open my mouth, and immediately God worked it out.
So I say to you, although you're going through, and what he's done for me, he can do for you. So I say to you, although you're going through, and what is that? doubt again.
I will never doubt again.
This is what I
say, God, we thank you for the victory that we have by way of your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us and redeemed us back to you. We're so grateful.
And who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. Who can stand against the King? No one can, and no one will. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Oh, 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 oh. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Say, who can stand again?
Who can stand against the Lord?
No one can.
No one can.
No one will.
No one will.
Who can stand against the King?
Who can stand against the King?
No one can.
No one can.
No one will.
Victory belongs to Him.
You are dearly
help us see your
victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to you.
One more time, say. Thank you, worship team. We appreciate you. I want to say good morning to every one of you. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you all for being in the house of God. I want to welcome all of you that are watching on television and listening on radio and some of you live streaming with us. We are grateful for joining us this morning, whether you are local or statewide or national, or even our international friends. We appreciate every one of you. If you have your Bible, will you please turn to the Gospel of St. John? The Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. Let me invite you to stand in reference to the Word of God. The Gospel of St. John, chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 24. Amen. The Bible says God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and also in truth. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the word of God. Holy Spirit, I invite you to breathe on this word. Minister to our hearts. Glorify yourself in this house. Lord, I pray for every family here. I pray for healing in our body. And I pray, oh God, that you will heal our community, heal our nation. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled, Grace for Every Race. Grace for every race. If you have been keeping up with the media, you will hear a lot of talking heads and opinions and thoughts on the issues of the day. You may have read about what various people have to say concerning the question of race relations in America, the question of racism. And some of you have been also calling me and asking me, will you say something? Will you share your thoughts about it? Well, rather than sharing my opinion, I want us to look at God's opinion. Because when it's all said and done, let all men be liars, let God be true. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want to do with you this morning. And I do recognize that we do have some racial tension. I recognize that we have made a lot of progress, believe it or not, in the area of race relations. But it's just like we're moving backward. So, and that's the work of the enemy. So as far as God is concerned, racism is a sin. The problem we're dealing with is that when you have a problem that is lasting for years and for decades and for centuries,
then it becomes something that you cannot just treat with home remedies. It's not one of those problems that you can use over-the-counter medication to deal with. So it takes God to breathe into a valley of dead bones. Are you listening to me? And that is why God's opinion is very, very important here. There was a story in the book of St. John, chapter 4, that will expose the work of the enemy on this subject. St. John chapter 4, beginning from verse 3, shows that Jesus was about to make a trip. The Bible says specifically, Jesus is traveling from Judea to Galilee. Many of you travel with me to Israel, and if you recall, they literally take us from the top of the country up north, and we travel all the way down south. In this particular country, you will notice that Judea is in the south, and Galilee is up north. So in order for you to travel from Judea down south to Galilee up north, you have to pass through a city in the middle called Samaria. It's like central Louisiana. You know, we are here in central Louisiana. And what is so good about Sinla is that if you want to go to Shreveport up north and you're coming from Baton Rouge, guess what? You have to pass through Alexandria. So the Bible is not complicated. So if you see John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says Jesus had to pass through Samaria to get to Galilee. You might say, oh, no problem, just get in your car and drive to where you're going. But the problem, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Jewish people do not like to go through Samaria. Have you ever noticed sometimes there are some neighborhoods you don't like to go to? Same thing, the Bible is so real. These Jewish people, they don't mind going anywhere but Samaria. You know why they don't want to go through Samaria? They don't like the people of Samaria. In fact, they call them Samaritan dogs. Guess what's going on? Racism. It was so obvious. Now the question is, why do the Jews hate the Samaritans? It's very simple. Way back in 722 BC, the people of Israel, they were attacked by their enemy. You say, how can God's people be attacked by their enemy? It's very simple. The way God deals with these Samaritans, with all mankind, is this. If you begin to commit sin, then you open door for the enemy. So every time the people of God sin, God will punish them one of three ways. Number one, either God will send a famine to consume them. Let me put that in plain English. The economy will take a nosedive. Does that sound like some of what we are dealing with now? Another way that God deal with them, ladies and gentlemen, will be God will send a plague, to attack the whole nation. Something like coronavirus. So this is nothing new. It's been going on for decades. The third way that God would deal with the people of Israel when they sinned is to allow their enemy to come and attack them and take them as captives. You will probably have heard about the captivity in Babylon, the captivity in Rome, Now, this time, Israel messed up. They commit sin, just like you and I would do from time to time, you know. And so what God decided to do is to allow their enemy to come and conquer them. That enemy is called the Assyrians. So the Assyrians came in 722 BC, attacked Israel, conquered Israel, and take Israel into captivity. Then while the Israelites were over there in Assyria, there were interracial mixing, you know. And then they produced new generation. Those new generations is what we call the Samaritans. Now you see why the Jews don't like them. Because in the mind of an average Jew, those Samaritans are of mixed race. They are not pure Jews, and they are not full-blooded Jews. Translation, racism. Right there in your Bible. So they don't want to deal with the Samaritans. If you go among the Jews and you mention Samaritans, they walk out. They don't want to have any dealings. They call them dogs. But here we find in John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible said Jesus had to go through the very neighborhood that his people hate. Isn't that something? The Bible says he had to pass through. The question is, why did Jesus have to pass through the neighborhood? Well, two reasons. Number one, the geography. I just told you, Judea is in the south, Galilee is in the north. To go from south to north, you have to pass through Samaria. That's one reason. Simple geography. The second reason, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus wanted to deal with this problem of racism once and for all. He wants you and me to know where God stands on the question of racism. Jesus had an appointment with a Samaritan woman. Am I still in the book? And ladies and gentlemen, notice where they met. The Bible says they met at a well. It's not just any kind of well. If you look at verse number 5, the Bible says they met at Jacob's well. There's a lesson there because Jacob's well, the name Jacob, is very familiar to the Jews and also to the Samaritans. You know why? Because the Jews called their forefather Jacob. And the Samaritans also called their forefather Jacob. In other words, although the Jews don't like the Samaritans and the Samaritans don't like the Jews, they all have the same father. Well, let me help somebody theologically. See, the blacks and the whites, you all have the same father. So it's actually stupid to be racist. When you really think about it, everybody came from Adam. Whether you're Hispanic, whether you're black, whether you're African, whether you're Puerto Rican, we all have the same father. So it's really the devil that is tricking our minds. We all came from the same blood. I just want you to know the heart of God. But I want you to take note of something else. Jesus was very strategic. The reason why he chose that very place is because he knew, although the Samaritans don't like the Jews, so it's really both ways. It's not just the Jews that are racist. The Jews don't like the Samaritans. The Samaritans don't like the Jews. And so Jesus chose a place that both races can relate to. Jacob's well. There's a lesson there. If you want to help with the problem of racism in this country, one way to do that is to find common grounds. You see, all of us, black and white, Hispanic African, Chinese, all of us have some things in common. All of us want good health. All of us want our children to succeed. All of us want to be saved. Find some common ground that you can relate to others. Instead of everybody living like islands in their own corner, instead of every church is building their own kingdom, we need to find common ground that we can come together. One common ground is called the blood of Jesus. Whether you call yourself Baptist or Methodist or Catholic or whatever, one thing we all have in common, the blood of Jesus. So Jesus was very strategic in choosing that location. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe one of the reasons why we're finding it very difficult to attract non-Christians is because we cannot find common grounds with them. Jesus was able to connect with this woman. In John chapter 4, verse 7, then Jesus asked the sister, "Sister, can I have some of your water?" Don't just read that. You have to look deep into the scripture. What Jesus is saying is, I know I'm a Jew. I know you're a Samaritan. But I'm willing to put my Jewish lip in your Samaritan cup. Do you really want to heal racism in this country? I'll tell you how. Each person must be willing to cross the aisle. You must be willing to put your lip in the Samaritan cup. It takes so much humility for Jesus to say, although my people don't like you, although I'm not even supposed to be hanging out with you, although I'm not even supposed to be seen with you, but I want to do the right thing. And I'm willing to put my lips in your Samaritan cup. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what God is looking for. You are the salt of this earth. The government have no answer to the problem of racism. But you, as a child of God, blood bought, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, God has called us out to make this world a better place. You are the light of this world. Did you notice that? A city that is set on the hill, it cannot be hidden. The Bible says, let your light so shine among men that they will see your good work and they will give glory to God. You notice in verse 9, John chapter 4, verse 9, the woman said, whoa, 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 hold it. You are Jewish. And I'm Samaritan. You know the rules. That's like saying, hold it. You white. I'm black. You know the rules. We're not supposed to be hanging out. We're not supposed to be doing business together. We're not supposed to be marrying each other. We're not supposed. See, the society will build up all these walls. But you, as a child of God, God has called you out to build bridges. Are you listening to me this morning? You're supposed to build bridges, not walls. You know, I was reading this story. Something came to my spirit. How did she know that Jesus is a Jew? Jesus didn't show me and say, hello, sister, girl, I'm a Jewish man. Can we talk? No, he never did that. So how did the woman knew that Jesus was Jewish? You see, I'm using my sanctified mind. That's what theologians do. You have to think through and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. See, I believe what happened was that she could notice Jesus' accent, Jewish accent. So she could tell, you're one of them. She probably also noticed the way that Jesus dressed that day. Have you ever noticed sometimes my wife and I, we will come here and we'll dressed up in an African dress? There's a reason why we do that. Can I tell you the reason? Hope I don't get in trouble. One reason is that my wife just don't have time to fix her hair, so you told me to tell you. So the way we dress, you see, when women dress in Africa, they wrap their hair. So you don't have to worry about the beauty. Many of you say, I can't believe he did that. The second reason, ladies and gentlemen, is that we just want to remind you who we are. We are proud of who we are. We are African. We are comfortable in our own skin. We are comfortable the way God made us, so we don't need to impress anybody. And all of you have to be comfortable in the way God made you. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to notice that when Jesus met this woman, he never denied being Jewish. You know the lesson I'm trying to teach you? You don't have to be different to relate to other people. Be yourself. There are too many fake people in the body of Christ. There's nothing wrong if you're black. There's nothing wrong if you're white. There's nothing wrong if you're Jewish. God, there's a reason why God used Jacob to bless Joseph with a coat of many colors. There's a reason why the rainbow is not one color, but several colors. There's a reason why on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came down, the Bible said there were people from all different nations. God loves diversity. America, I'm speaking to you from the bottom of my heart. Enjoy being like your God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Jesus refused to play all this racist game that his own people were playing. He is comfortable being Jewish, but he has no problem relating to other people. I don't have to be pretending. You don't have to struggle to know that I'm an African. You can tell. You can tell verbally, you can tell. Physically, you can tell. What the Bible is trying to teach us, you can maintain your identity, whether it's cultural identity, whether it's racial identity, but don't let it get in the way of contradicting the word of God. You don't have to be like the rest of the world. Are you listening to me today? Dare to be different. But don't use your difference to take advantage of anyone. Notice that Jesus chose deliberately. He said, I had to go through Samaria. I have to put an end to this racism problem. It's not of God. It's not the heart of the Father. Even though I'm Jewish, I'm going to go into the neighborhood where it's forbidden, because all those divisions are the work of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, what am I trying to tell you? You don't have to give up how God made you. But don't allow how God made you to be an abuser of people that God made different from you. Don't use how God made you to misuse other people that God made different. Don't say because you are made a male figure, you don't use that to oppress those who are female. Don't say because you are youth and God give you all this health and strength, you don't use that to oppress the elderly. That's not the heart of God. Are you still here this morning? So just because your race may have some hang up, that don't mean you as a child of God have to be a part of that. That's what Jesus is teaching all of us this morning. Just because your race will not do certain things, just because your race is too extra protective, a distance from others, you don't have to be a part of that. Amen. Don't be so committed to your race that you begin to operate against the Christian race. The Christian race is far superior than the black race, or the white race, or the Hispanic race. Are you still here this morning? So let me help somebody here. Stop trying to witness to people about Jesus Christ when your heart ain't right. There's a reason why the winos are not in the church. There's a reason why the crackhead won't come. There's a reason why the street folks will not come, because they can see through the hypocrisy. They can see through all the spirit of judging other people and condemning others. You can't tell me there is God when you represent God, you ain't right. There's a reason why all young people are leaving the church. You know why? Because they cannot stand all the hypocrisy. They cannot stand all the silence. See, the church, we've been trained so well that all you need to do is protest if you don't see the problem. Just look the other way. But the heart of God is that you offer solutions. Be a different. Reach across the aisle. Go extra mile. Wouldn't it be sad that you and I can sing together? We can worship together, but we cannot dine together? Isn't it sad that you and I can play football together and make touchdowns, but I can't take you to my home? You can't take me to your home? We can change that. That's why God is calling you and me out to make a difference, to make this world a better place. I believe the heart of God is demonstrated in what Jesus did. He went beyond the call of the duty. He went across his own race to go relate to somebody else. He went where he was not welcome, where he was hated, because he knew the heart of God is for all people to work together. Notice that Jesus is able to relate to this woman because he came to his neck of the wood. Are you feeling me? See, I was brought up by Southern Baptist missionary. You know why they were able to relate to me? Because they left America and came to the jungles of Africa. True love will cause you to go beyond your neck of the wood. The problem is that we are all hiding in our foxhole and operating in isolation and building our own kingdom. This one we say I'm Baptist. That one we say I'm Methodist. This one we say I'm Pentecostal. This one we say, oh, we're Lutheran. We don't believe that. Oh, we are Koji. We don't. All of us, we are wrong. What you need to be is to be a church of the living God. Line up your doctrine with what God said. Don't get you right, all tangled up in things that don't matter. Jesus said to this woman, I have something that you need. You know the reason why Jesus is able to have a conversation? Because Jesus came to her level and he was able to relate to her. You know why we're not winning nobody for Christ? Because we are so high up there. And until we learn to get off our high horse and humble ourselves, ain't nobody going to hear your gospel or my gospel. Jesus, the creator of the whole world, can you imagine him hanging out with a woman that don't even like him? But he was able to come to her level. And all of a sudden, that woman is now communicating. They can have a conversation because Jesus met her where she is. The body of Christ, we need to get off our high horse. You can stay right there in your four walls and singing Kumbaya every Sunday and reaching nobody. In fact, I hate to say it, but maybe one of the reasons why the whole churches in the world were shut down for a while is so that you can get out of the building and go reach real people. I was sharing with my church this morning how my wife and I, we will buy a $40 ticket. That's all it costs. If you get a $40 ticket from the city of Alexandria, you can ride the bus anywhere. And we will park our car. And we will get on the bus. We're not going anywhere. We just want to ride and get to see real people. We want to see where people live. We want to see how they act. We want to see what are the burdens of their heart. And some of them, I wish you see their reaction when they see it. They know that this guy got a car somewhere. Why is he on the bus? And some of them, they are shocked. They never see me in my blue jeans. They always see me on TV with three-piece suit, looking cute. All of a sudden, they say, are you the same guy on TV? I say, yes, ma'am, that's me. And some of them will break down in tears. It's like, they can't believe you will come to our neighborhood. Can't believe you will come and hang out with us. And oh, how much I learned from these people. Oh, how much I got revealed to me. Of what good if you're preaching to people you don't even relate to? Jesus is our role model. He went beyond all the Jewish bias to go and reach out to people who are different from him. Ladies and gentlemen, notice in their conversation, once this woman got comfortable talking with Jesus, he said, man, I like you. You are right. You're not the kind of Jew like the rest of them. But the woman said, there's one problem. He said, you know it and I know it. You Jewish folks, you said God is over that mountain. That's where you worship God. You have to go to Jerusalem. If you don't go to Jerusalem to worship God, you're no Christian. He said, we as Samaritans, our own forefathers told us God is over here, not in Jerusalem. So we cannot connect. You are all right with me, but we have all this wall that the society has built up. And that's when Jesus has to look at her and say, sister girl, your forefathers, they're wrong. My forefathers, they're wrong. He said, let me tell you the real deal. God is a spirit. And anybody that really wants to worship God, you have to worship God in your spirit. You have to worship God in truth. He said, don't get caught up the way you are raised, this mindset of the society. Who is white? Who is black? Oh, those Hispanic people. No, don't get caught up in all those foolishness. None of it is accurate in the sight of God. If you really want to worship God from your heart. Do that which is right. Tell the truth. Jesus said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm sure you want to say, Pastor, what is the truth? I'm glad you asked. What should be the standard when it comes to the issue of race relations? Glad you asked. St. John chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says, sanctify them which with thy truth. And then it says, thy word is true. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, forget it. Trash it. Don't be a part of any mess. I don't care whether you're in the White House or the crack house. Just stand with God. Let God minister to you. Be an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. He said, you and I, we are ambassadors for Almighty God. Wouldn't it be nice that in the midst of all this chaos nationwide, people protesting, people fighting, they're burning houses, acting all kinds of things going on. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody's out there trying to bring people together, trying to bridge the gap, trying to make the world a better place. Let me tell you one more story to expose racism and I'll let you go. It's in the book of Acts chapter 10. It's the story of Apostle Peter, beginning from verse 9. Peter is in the church, you know. Do you know you can be in the church and still be a racist? Hey, don't turn me off. You can even be in the pulpit preaching and be full of racism. Peter was a part of the church. He was a disciple of Jesus Christ. He was actually praying. The Bible says he went to the roof part of his house and he started to pray to God. And in the process, he got hungry. You know, I do that sometimes. Maybe not you. Sometimes I've been trying to read my Bible and I fall asleep. just lazy. Sometimes I just get hungry. Peter was hungry. And then he fell asleep. And then somewhere along the way, the Bible says he was in a trance. Translation, he had a vision. Guess what God? God showed him a big plate coming from the sky. And it dropped in front of him. And he looked to the plate. Guess what he see? Plenty of food. Remember, he was hungry before he went to sleep. And now he saw food in front of him. He said, hallelujah, it's time to eat. Then he looked closer. And he noticed the food are what his people, the Jewish religion, say you don't eat that, you don't eat that, you don't touch that. The Jews don't deal with pork. They call that unclean. He said, man, I'm hungry, but I can't mess with this. In that process, God spoke. God said, look, son, you're hungry. Go ahead and eat. And he responded to God. He said, look, I'm a Jewish man. Just like many of you say, I'm a black man, or I'm a white man, or a white woman, whatever you call yourself. Many of you are starving from the blessing of God because of your race mindset. What if God wants to bless you? You're a white man, but God wants to bless you using a black man. Don't let your race rob you of your miracle. What if you're a black person and God is trying to bless you through a white person? I never will forget. Every now and then, I have my children. I'll be sharing my testimony. I want to write a memoir of myself so they know the real deal. I was at California Baptist College, ready to graduate, owed $2,000. And the registrar called me, you cannot graduate because you owe the college. I said, that's fair, that's understandable. They said, but we'll let you march. You can march. We'll give you a folder like everybody else, but there's no diploma in the folder. And whenever you're able to pay your debt, whether it takes you 1 year or 2 years, then we can give you your diploma. They were not being mean. That's the rule. I understood it. Graduation is Friday. And it was Wednesday, I was going to church, Magnolia Baptist Church in Riverside, California. And while I was walking, I didn't have nothing to write. I was walking to church. A white gentleman pulled in front of me. He said, "Hey, you need a ride?" Now I have to make a decision. If I go by some of the biases that people are trying to put in my head, I would not even get in the car with him. But I had enough sense. I got in the car. And he took me, said, "Hey, we were just having ordinary conversation. How you doing? What's your name?" "I'm Josh." "Oh, I noticed your accent. Where are you from?" "I'm from Nigeria." "Where is Nigeria?" "West Africa." "What are you doing in Riverside?" "I'm going to school." "Oh, what you study? Where you go to school?" "I go to California Baptist College, a few blocks there." He said, "Yeah, I've heard of that school." He said, "What kind of school is it?" "Yeah, it's the Christian College." "What are you studying?" "I'm studying piano music." "Oh, good luck to you." And they dropped me off at the church. And they were gone. Thursday morning, I got a call. "Come to the registrar's office." I said, "Okay, what did I do wrong this time?" They say, "The gentleman that picked you up yesterday came to the college and paid everything you owe." Listen, church, I'm pouring my heart out to every one of you. If I allow all the biases, all the prejudice to get in my head, I would have missed my miracle. You can be a black man, a black woman, but God may use a white person to bless you. You can be a white person, God can use a black person to bless you. Don't be so foolish that you get caught up in all the dramas of this world and you miss your blessing. Ladies and gentlemen, God is very clear. He told Peter, "Don't call something unclean that I have called clean." Amen. And Peter eats. And then God said, "Let me tell you why I'm making you eat something that you don't even like." He said, "You're a Jewish man. You know about my gospel. You know about my truth. Now I'm sending you to a Gentile community. The people that you don't want to hang out with, the people that you think they are less than you, the people that you think they're going straight to hell, I have my grace covers every race, not just you." And he sent Peter. He said, "There's a man out there, his name is Cornelius, and Cornelius is not a Jew, but he has a heart for God. And I want you to go travel to that whole neighborhood, another city, and preach to his family." And the Bible says, not only did Peter went there and obey God, when Peter got to the house of Cornelius, he preached to somebody who is not a Jew. And the Holy Ghost fell. And that man got saved. That man got baptized. And that man began to speak in tongues. It blows Peter's mind. Say, "I can't believe this Holy Ghost will cover more than just the Jews." And ladies and gentlemen, now the church is over, they started to eat. And of course, you know, those people are not Jewish. The Jews don't fool with porks. They don't fool with pigs. But now you're in the house. Every now and then, my wife and I encounter that. We'll go visit a family, and they will serve us some things that we're not used to. So you can pretend. So you're their guest, so you just eat, you know. And bless God, Peter began to eat some of the food, and now he discovered how much he's been missing. By the time Peter eats some pork chop, man, he said, "Man, where have I been all this time? Somebody's been fooling me with all this Jewish stuff." He eat the pork chop. He tasted some chitlins, man. He got some boudin. He said, oh, yes. This is looking good. Peter was, the next day he had breakfast. He had bacon with eggs. He said, ooh, thank you, Jesus. It was lunchtime. He was just enjoying himself, eating pig meat and pig feet. And all of a sudden, got a neck bone. He was just chewing and just chewing. He said, man. This is some good stuff. And the Bible said, the Bible is very interesting, very colorful. The Bible said while Peter was eating his neck bone, another Jewish person came in and said, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing with these people? These are sinners. Why are you here? And look at you with pig feet in your hand. What is this? This is the sad part of this story. The Bible says Peter, in order not to offend his Jewish friend, he left the Gentiles. See, many of the racism you see in the community, in the nation, a lot of people have good heart. But when they get around their people, they don't want to offend their friends. That's a spirit that is not of God. Many of you, you know what is right. But why is it that you are around your friends and they are being racial and they're using a racial slur and say negative things, but you say nothing about it? You go quiet. You are silent. You zip your lips because you don't want to be offended. Because you just want to be a part. Peter missed an opportunity to set the record straight. And I challenge every one of you. God will give you an opportunity. I'm going through that anointing right now. I happen to be a professor at the local college here. Louisiana College. Every time, people don't mean no harm, but when you see people going the wrong direction, love them enough to tell them the truth. Peter failed to share. Instead, he would rather get up to fit in the Jewish club. And you know something that's so tragic about that story? Not only did Peter got up to leave, the Bible said every other Jews that were there, they also got up and leave. You know why? Because Peter is a pastor. You know why? Because Peter is the leader. Leaders cast long shadow. You'll be surprised if I decide today to move this church to Carfax. You'll be surprised how many people will get up and follow me because I'm the leader. You know, there's a lesson I'm trying to share with you. Part of the reason why there's so much racism in this country today is because the pulpit is silent. I challenge every one of you pastors out there, dare to stand up for holiness. Dare to stand up for righteousness. Tell the truth and shame the devil. But if you zip your mouth, if you're busy trying to fit in, trying to please your friends, the Bible says anyone that knows how to do good and chose to do evil is sin. Let me end by one verse in the Bible that I don't want you to miss. The book of Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. I wish they can put it on the screen so you can see it. Apostle Paul came to that city and noticed all the bigots that is going on with Apostle Peter. Notice how Peter is going back to his racist tendency. Notice how Peter is not only doing the wrong thing, But because of his position, a lot of other people are following him to do wrong. Notice what Paul did. Then Peter went down to the men we were sent. No, I need the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 11. The Bible said Apostle Paul confronted Peter. He told Peter, you were wrong. Say, Peter was in Antioch. I is Paul. Paul withstood him. Paul confronted him to the face. Just like I'm confronting you and all of America today. He said, you know better. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you see racism going on and you're silent about it. Don't tell me you're on your way to heaven and you see somebody mistreating others and you do nothing about it. Paul confronted him to his face. You know why he did that? The Bible tells you, because Peter was to be blamed for all the racism of that day. I would hate for you to get to heaven and for God to look you in the face. You had an opportunity to speak up, to do something, and you are silent. You look the other way. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back and worship with us. If you've been watching today, and maybe because of your association, because of society wars, you find yourself with a spirit of racism. And you say, Brother Pastor, I'm through with that. I see the light. I see how God feels about it. Today there's a number under the screen. You can call that number. There are ministers of the gospel that will pray with you and celebrate with you. I know what it is to have a turnaround in my life and say, no, I'm through with this. I'm through with this foolishness. And maybe you're watching me today, you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Lord. Maybe you're here in the building. You say, yeah, Pastor, me too. I can do better. I will allow God to use me to make this world better. I want to pray with you this evening. And for those of you that are still here, if the Lord has put it in your spirit to give for the work of the ministry. Yes, we're facing a new normal now. But on your way out, there's an offering plate there. You can just leave your offering and your tithes. You don't need to march around. God sees your heart. And I want to encourage you to be obedient to God. Giving is receiving. I just share with you somebody who gave so that I can stand before you today to proclaim the gospel. I don't know him. I don't even have an address to send a thank you letter. He didn't ask for anything. I did not even let him know I was owing the college. But when God get ready to bless you, don't allow a spirit of racism to rob you of your blessing. For those of you who are watching us, you say, I'm not in the building. How can I give? Well, you can go to our website, zionhill.com. There's an opportunity for online giving there. And believe me when I tell you, Zion Hill is good ground. The Lord will bless you more and more. God gives seed to the sower.
That's right.
And I pray that God will increase your storehouse. I pray that anointing called running over will be your portion. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Help me welcome our worship team one more time. Thank you so much. Thank you.
And we pray that you have a good day and a good rest of the week. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen.